public service. Really important, I think, hopefully for all of you, is that we are a relatively new organization, as new as John Palguta, 12 years basically. We try to focus on five things. One, how do we get good talent into government? Secondly, how do we make sure the government workforce has the leadership that it needs? And we do a lot of work more recently around trying to prepare new political appointees to understand what's distinctive about the federal environment. So if you have new political appointees, we, on a pro bono basis, help provide them, I think, important information about how to succeed. So please send them our way. We also work on engagement. Best Places is a piece of that effort there. We also are engaged on trying to make sure the systems and structures exist for an effective government. We do a lot of work on the Hill and then also around regulation associated with talent. And then finally, we're trying to build a constituency outside of government for effective government. And part of our theory is that unless key stakeholders on the outside care about the operations of government, we're not going to, again, have the government that we actually need. So our five pieces, ran through them. Why the rankings? We were a new nonprofit 12 years ago, and we were presented with a question: how are we going to know whether you're having the impact you want on the government? And we looked in the government space to see, are there metrics that we could judge ourselves by? And the answer was not much, not really, and certainly not something that was cross-cutting all the way throughout government. And we then looked at the private sector and noticed that, you know, great organizations measure themselves by what their employees had to say. And that was really the genesis of this effort. We have found that it provides an early warning system. You know, our first rankings came out in 2003. Pre-creation of the Department of Homeland Security, the bottom-ranked agency at that point was FEMA. The then director of FEMA said that the survey was bogus, essentially. And yeah, I'm not going to then talk about, you know, events thereafter in 2005. But the basic point is that it is an early warning system and gives some sense about why we really ought to care. It says, you know, where you ought to look. It doesn't answer all the whys. I mean, obviously, the whys are things that you have to, you know, dig deep into. And as you saw, frankly, from the NASA stuff, we also hope this becomes a draw from the talent market. So the talent market is able to understand what it's like from hearing from employees. So a set of different reasons why we're focused on this. This year, we have the most organizations actually included on rankings, and you can see the numbers. There were more than 376,000 federal employees that were surveyed from the OPM survey. We really deeply appreciate a bunch of agencies that aren't required by law to participate but come to us anyway. They do their own survey and want to participate. That includes GAO, and we'll hear and see from Gene Dodaro, who's sitting back here. They have been, from the beginning, you know, stalwarts of this and top performers. So thank you very much. But the intelligence community and the Smithsonian and the set of organizations, Peace Corps that you see here, FDIC, they're not required to do it, but they do. And this is, as you heard from Janet, 10th time. Thanks to the Obama administration, OPM has been doing it every year since they've come in office. So we started earlier than 10 years. But this is it's 10 years. It's 8 times that we've done in the 10 years. So, you know, what is the top line measurement? What do we look at? And the answer is we pull 3 questions that we have a weighted average for, and you see the 3 here. And the reason why we choose these 3 questions is because they are highly correlated to whether employees say they're going to stick around. And those numbers are quite devastating, too. If you look at it, you know, the people who say they're likely to leave within a year, and I'm going to get this a little wrong because I don't have the exact number, but they're likely to stay, their numbers are somewhere in the 70s, and if they say that they're going to be gone, their numbers are in the 30s. So, you know, very, very high correlation between, you know, whether you're going to keep your talent or not, and whether they think the organization is engaging them or not. We've talked about the troubling story. I'm going to go through this quickly. Bright spots, fascinating, I think, which is even in a year in which you see overall government going down, nearly a quarter of the organizations that we're able to measure and track went up. And again, that tells you an awful lot about, frankly, what good leadership can do. You've got a strong headwind, and those people, those agencies are able to move forward, despite the ecosystem of challenge, frankly, because they're managing very, very effectively. And, you know, again, there are components within the survey, like the connection to mission that are continue to be extraordinarily strong in the federal government. So this gives you the timeline since we started in 2003. And as I mentioned earlier, we're now below where we started. Not a good thing. But you know, our hope is that we can turn that around. I also mentioned that it's really critical for us to look at the private sector as a comparison point. You'll see that the delta is getting larger. Thanks to the Hay Group, they construct our private sector comparison point. But what I think is particularly important is if you took the average of the folks that are in this room, the agencies that are in the room, you would see something quite a bit different. And you'd see us being above that private sector average. And frankly, I think that ought to be our goal as a federal government, that we meet or exceed the private sector, as there are some advantages, frankly, that we have in the federal environment that we ought to deploy more effectively. So it is possible, and this room demonstrates that it's possible. A couple of places where the discrepancy is greatest on some of the questions. Biggest gap is, do you get the recognition for, recognition for good work? That's a place we really fall down on in the federal environment. Do you have the information from your management to do your jobs effectively? So if you look into the data more finely, there's some things that are quite important that pop out and as being very, very different from or much worse than we see in the private sector. In addition to the top line, we also break down the information into categories, workplace categories, and this is oriented in terms of those that are ranked the highest, and again, you see employees' skills, mission match, very high up there, and then, unfortunately, leadership, quite low, and you obviously see the 2013-2012 differences. So of those 10 workplace categories, we try to identify, hey, what matters the most? And as you've heard me say like 20 times so far this morning, it's leadership, it's leadership, it's leadership. You see that here. That's what drives employee perspective on their work environment more than anything else. Second most is the skills mission match, and pay is now the third or fourth year now that pay has popped up. It used to be work-life balance. But even still, it's a relatively small slice of the pie. And even still, frankly, there are some organizations that are able to make improvement on that category. But despite that, again, there's a lot that can be done. Leadership is the most important, so we wanted to do a little bit of a deeper dive into what aspects of leadership are most fundamental to employee engagement and satisfaction and commitment. And what we found, again, is this, and this is a little bit non-intuitive, but it's the senior leaders categories of questions that had the greatest impact. And you see also that empowerment and senior leaders are the lowest within that larger effective leadership group. So there's a lot of work. People talk a lot about trying to help the frontline supervisor. That's clearly important. But the overall tone, the sharing of information, everything obviously comes from you, from the senior leadership group. And I want to really do, again, focus on that empowerment point. Again, in an environment in which we're demanding more for federal employees, you got to give them the tools. You got to give them the sense that they own the ability to do what it is that they need to get done. And we're going the wrong way writ large in government on that. And that's a big problem. And information, a big part of it as well. So lots of ways to slice and dice the information. Highly recommend, obviously that you do that. These are the general numbers overall in government. But if you begin to look at components or agencies, we see, again, huge amounts of variability. And that tells a lot of story. Again, I was with an agency that had a huge gender gap that was surprising for them. Again, but then some of their components, it was large and some small. But there are ways to use this data to help pinpoint areas of particular pain or opportunity. And this is, again, just an example of the gender and age piece. On the age side, I think the under 40, over 40, again, in other environments that might not be seen as the difference between, new and more experienced, but in the federal environment, obviously, we have a more experienced workforce. But I think it is important when you start looking at your new talent or people that you hope to hold on to for some extended period of time. And again, in general, those that are 40 and over, we see that there's a higher level of engagement, but there are agencies that differ on that as well. Veterans disability status, once more, again, there's just a lot of good ways to slice and dice the data, and I'm just trying to run through this quickly because I want to get to recognition piece. But my real point in doing this is to suggest, you know, a lot of folks here have already done all kinds of interesting stuff with your data, but I hope that you'll share that, but also if you haven't done it in this way, please do, and help us understand what's going to be most useful to the senior, a senior level audience. You know, how can we help all of you most? And, you know, one of my more, I think, more fascinating pieces here, you know, looking at the SES, which, again, it's normal in all organizations that the more senior management is going to feel more satisfied and committed. They've got that information, generally, that's so important. They feel more control. They understand what's happening more. The discrepancy in government is huge, really huge. And one of the things that we see in many agencies is a misalignment, frankly, between the manager and the staff and their views about what's happening in their environment. So, you know, an unnamed agency, as an example, 4 out of 5 of their employees say that promotions are not based on merit. Another good question to benchmark against. Whereas 4 out of 5 of their SESers say promotions are based on merit. And so, you know, you know, really hard to change in an environment in which, you know, your senior managers have a different view about what the problems are than the line employee. And I think that, again, is a really helpful way of examining the data. So, no need to talk about this with this group. There's a lot of very great things that are being done across the board. One of my favorites, and now a bunch of different agencies are doing it, is not trying to be specific about what you have to do, but making sure people understand it's real important. So baking employee engagement into the performance appraisal expectations. So, you know, that was the starting point for transportation and Ray LaHood, you know, and this was career and non-career. And I really want to emphasize the non-career piece. You know, really hard for the career folks to treat seriously some of the performance management stuff that's going on if it doesn't apply to their bosses. But I think that's one of the more effective ways that I've seen agencies, you know, again, empower their own people, say, look, we care about this. This is how we're going to appraise you. So here's some things that others have done, but there's a range of opportunity for you to do it. So again, the recognition piece, I think, is also critically important. I've already talked about, you know, working with the labor unions. So we have a case study report that Janet spoke about. Hope you'll take a look at it. Hope you'll bring to us other stories, other things that we can try to bring up and share. Our website has a ton of different information, and hopefully you'll take a look at that. We want to get smarter and get better. And if you're doing some neat things with your data or with your engagement, please let us know, and we'll try to help make sure that gets shared around as well. So, more stuff is coming from us. We try during the course of the year to provide additional information, workshops, webinars. We do snapshots around specific areas like innovation. That's another one that I really love. We look at the questions about whether people individually feel like they are looking for new ways and better ways to do things, and then whether they feel like they've got organizational support or leadership support for it. Huge disconnect there. Intrinsic desire, but no extrinsic support for it across the board. That's another, you know, again, way to look at what's happening inside your organizations. And we'll try to help you if there's specific questions, if you need custom analysis or help, we want to help you there as well. So that is the rankings. And now I get to turn to the best part of the morning, and that is the award presentation. So we're going to start with the subcomponents and work our way up to the largest agencies. And as you saw with Janet, I do have a cold, and so I'm not going to shake anyone's hand because I want to, you know, give you my thanks, but not my germs. But what I will do, if you're willing, is give you the elbow bump. So your choice, your prerogative. Some may not. I don't care. It's fine. So we're going to begin with the most improved subcomponent. And this year, the award for most improved subcomponent goes to the Antitrust Division of the Department of Justice, whose mission is to promote economic competition by ensuring a fair playing field. I have to say, I used to work at the Antitrust Division, but I left in 1994, so I can't say I had anything to do with this improvement. In any case, I'm glad to see such a large jump. The division increased its score by 13.9 points, which shot it 137 places up in the rankings to 144 out of 300 subcomponents. And the antitrust folks here, if you move that many places again, you'll reach the top 10 next year, and do it once more after that, and you'll blast right out of the rankings in a way that will impress even NASA rocket scientists. So accepting the award is the head of the Antitrust Division, Assistant Attorney General Bill Baer. So now we go to the top five subcomponents. At number five in the Department of Transportation is the Federal Highway Administration, which supports state and local governments in designing, constructing, and maintaining the nation's highway systems, as well as roads on federal and tribal lands. Of course, we rely on these highways for efficient freight transportation to keep our economy moving, and in this time of year, when we hit the road for the holidays with our rambunctious kids, I have a 7 and 9-year-old, and get plenty of quality family time. Thank you very much for all the great roads. Congratulations on rising from number 9 last year and for improving your score 4 years in a row. Maybe you can help the Redskins by paving the way to the end zone. Accepting the the administrator of the Federal Highway Administration, Victor Mendez. Fourth-ranked subcomponent is the Office of the General Counsel of the Federal Energy Regulatory Commission. The commission regulates the sale and transmission of electricity and natural gas and the interstate transportation of oil and petroleum products. It is also responsible for the reliability and security of the bulk power grid and for protecting customers from manipulation in the electricity and natural gas markets. And of course, the Office of the General Counsel is responsible for providing sound legal advice on these and other important issues. As a commencement speaker at Vanderbilt Law School once said, quote, one aspect of building a happy lawyer's life is to seek to be very, very good at what you do. Based on the survey results, I'm assuming FERC's lawyers are very happy and very, very good at what they do. This is the first year that the FERC's subcomponents are in our rankings, and we're delighted to welcome the Office of General Counsel in the top five from the get-go. Accepting the award is Acting General Counsel David Marinoff. Ranked number 3 is the Army Audit Agency, which examines the Army's operations and programs, including child, youth, and school services, contracting, the drawdown in Iraq and Afghanistan, wounded warrior care, Arlington National Cemetery, and sexual harassment. The agency audits have saved the Army more than $8 billion over the past 4 years. The agency has placed among the top 3 subcomponents since it started participating in the rankings 4 years ago. And here to accept the award is Randall Exley, the Auditor General. Nice to see you again. In the number 2 spot is the John C. Stennis Space Center in Hancock County, Mississippi, which serves as NASA's primary rocket propulsion testing ground and has tested engines that powered 135 shuttle missions over 30 years. Stennis missed the number 1 spot by a mere 1/10 of a point. Number 1 is within reach. For the record, Stennis had absolutely nothing to do with Sandra Bullock getting stuck in space. Please welcome the director of the John C. Stennis Space Center, Richard Gilbrick. Now, the top-ranked subcomponent out of 300, again, by just 1/10 of a point, is the Patent and Trademark Office at the Department of Commerce. PTO provides a system of protection that has allowed American industry to flourish, new products to be invented, and old ones to be put to new uses. Since 2007, PTO has skyrocketed up in the rankings with no jet propulsion needed. In the past 7 years, it reached number 1 from number 172. Increasing in this tough past year by an astounding 4.1 points. Maybe they should patent the process they're using to reach and stay at the top. Here to accept the award is Peggy Focorino, Commissioner for Patents. Now the awards for small agencies, those that have between 100 and 999 employees. First, this year's most improved small agency is the United States International Trade Commission, an independent quasi-judicial federal agency with broad investigative responsibilities on trade matters. Among other things, it investigates the effects of subsidized imports on domestic industries and adjudicates cases involving imports that allegedly infringe intellectual property rights. Maybe a theme here. The International Trade Commission increased its best places score by 9.3 points this year. Maybe next year it can fairly trade its number 9 spot for number 1. Accepting the award for the agency is the Trade Commission's chairman, Irving Williamson. All right, now, top 5 small agencies. The 5th-ranked small agency is new to the small agency list. It used to be a very small, now it's reached the level of just small. Now, why am I picturing those stacking Russian dolls all of a sudden? Well, there's nothing small about the mission of the Federal Retirement Thrift Investment Board, which manages more than $300 billion for more than 4.5 million participants in the Thrift Savings Plan. TSP is a tax-deferred defined contribution plan similar to private sector 401k plans that give federal employees the opportunity to save additional money for their retirement. They have the opportunity to invest in assets that provide a good return, and their investment expenses are much lower than other investment options. The Wall Street Journal called the record of these funds remarkable. Here to accept the award are Greg Long, Executive Director of the Federal Retirement Thrift Investment Board, and Giselle Gothi, Director of Resource Management. Congratulations. This year's 4th-ranked agency, the Peace Corps, held onto its spot from the past 2 years. Since its founding, more than 210,000 Peace Corps volunteers have served in 139 host countries. Think how the world keeps changing and how the agency has had to adjust, lately in the areas of technology and computer literacy. For example, a Peace Corps volunteer in Cameroon is working with a local community to refurbish a high school computer lab and boost its energy supply so more students can get computer lessons. Volunteers in Rwanda recently organized an information and communications technology camp to teach female secondary school students computer skills that will advance their confidence and economic opportunities. After more than 50 years, the mission continues. And here to accept the award is the acting director of the Peace Corps, Carrie Hessler-Radelet. Welcome back. Welcome back, Carrie. Okay, coming in at number 3 is the Federal Mediation and Conciliation Service, an independent agency that seeks to resolve labor management disputes associated with collective bargaining and other workplace conflicts. Just last month, a possible work stoppage by Wegmans truckers and mechanics in upstate New York was averted after months of negotiation and after both sides met with an agency mediator. This agency is one of the 3 in the small agency group to experience an increase in score, with the other 2 coming in first and second. Now, 2 years ago, we were hoping you could help with the whole Kim Kardashian, Chris Humphries divorce debacle, but we said you worked on a nobler cause. Now we have the whole Chris Kardashian, Bruce Jenner divorce debacle, so we're asking you very nicely, please make it stop. Here to accept the award is the Director of Human Resources, Adam Ramsey. Small agency ranked number 2 is the National Endowment for the Humanities, an independent federal agency that promotes excellence in the humanities by awarding grants to museums, archives, libraries, public television, and radio stations, among other cultural institutions, and to individual scholars and teachers. One of its ongoing activities is the Bridging Cultures Initiative, begun in 2010, which uses the humanities to promote understanding and respect for people with diverse histories, cultures, and perspectives in the U.S. and abroad. It has funded projects with themes such as religious pluralism and the role of women in war and peace. Here to accept the award is the acting chairman of the National Endowment for the Humanities, Carol Watson. Thank you. top best places to work award for the small agencies for the fifth time in a row. Small agency honor goes to the Surface Transportation Board, an economic regulatory agency that oversees the freight rail lines and trucking industry and is the successor to the Interstate Commerce Commission. It is charged with resolving railroad rate and service disputes and reviewing proposed railroad mergers. With a score of 84.7, a 0.4 increase over last year, and the highest score of any agency in the rankings, this agency is a model for others. The Surface Transportation Board claimed the number one spot when it first joined the rankings in 2009 and has held on to it ever since. I guess you could say they're on the right track. Accepting the award today is Chairman Daniel Ellicott. Now we have the mid-size agencies, those with between 1,000 and 14,999 employees. And it's just, I think, awesome when you look, you hear about all the different things that our government's doing. It's amazing. First, the most improved. The agency receiving the award for most improved mid-size agency is the Federal Communications Commission, an independent agency that regulates interstate and international communities by radio, television, wire, satellite, and cable in the states, the District of Columbia, and U.S. territories. FCC score rose by 4.6 points, placing it at the upper end of the best places spectrum. Who says there's no such thing as spectrum humor? Or did that one mega hurt? Okay, stop. All right. Accepting the award is Chief of Staff Ruth Milkman, who coincidentally I grew up with in a small town in Iowa. I guess Iowa isn't a field of dreams just for baseball, but for the federal government as well. Should have said that my former boss from Iowa had been the head of the NEH and got the award last year. But that's Iowa, good place. So now the top five mid-sized agencies. We don't have a number five, but a tie for the number four spot. Our first number four mid-sized agency is another trade agency, the Federal Trade Commission, which works to prevent business practices that are anti-competitive, deceptive, or unfair to consumers without burdening legitimate business activity. The FTC is responsible for creating and managing the popular Do Not Call registry and cracking down on illegal robocalls. Maybe it's possible for the FTC to ban the Kardashians. Here to receive the award is the FTC's Chief of Staff, Heather Hipsley. The other number four agency is the Nuclear Regulatory Commission, an independent agency created in 1974 with the critical mission of ensuring the safety of nuclear power plants and other civilian uses of nuclear materials, such as in nuclear medicine. NRC remains consistently high on the best places list. Do I understand correctly that NRC will soon be regulating the Senate's nuclear option? Please welcome Chief Human Capital Officer Miriam Cohen to accept the award. At number three is the Government Accountability Office. Now, this independent, nonpartisan agency is the watchdog of Congress, keeping track of how the federal government spends taxpayer dollars. GAO topped another best places list in 2011, in that case, Washingtonians' top 50 best places to work, I think just the most recent list, with the competition broadened to include the private sector. Employees told the magazine they liked their role in improving the government's performance and ensuring its accountability by providing Congress with objective and nonpartisan information. They also enjoy telework options and student loan repayment plans for higher education. It is notable, as I mentioned earlier, that GAO asked to be included in our Best Places ranking. Here to accept GAO's award is the Comptroller General of the United States, Gene Dodaro. In the 4 years since it has been participating in the rankings, the Smithsonian Institution has always landed near the top, coming in at number two this year. This year, its score rose 1.7 points. The Smithsonian is the world's largest museum and research complex, comprised of 19 museums and galleries, 9 research centers, and more than 140 affiliate museums around the world, and, of course, the National Zoo. And it supplied the country with the one video that might have given Miley Cyrus a run for her money back in September. That's right, I'm talking about the National Zoo's Panda Cam, focused on baby panda bow bow, as in take a bow, right? Okay, so accepting the award is Undersecretary for History, Art, and Culture, Richard Curran. Congratulations. And the number one best places to work among mid-sized agencies is the Federal Deposit Insurance Corporation, which helps maintain our stability and public confidence in the nation's banking system, makes sure our savings are safe, and helps younger generations learn financial literacy. The protections afforded by FDIC keep more of us from putting our money under our mattresses, giving us a better night's sleep in more ways than one. I'm pleased to present the award to the agency, represented today by FDIC Chairman Martin Gruenberg and Director Arlias Upton Key. Congratulations. Now, top five large agencies. For our final set of awards, it is our great pleasure to introduce the top five large agencies, those with 15,000 or more employees. At number five is the Department of Justice, the central agency for enforcement of federal laws. Back in 1789, the Office of the Attorney General was created, originally as a one-person, part-time position, requiring the Attorney General to be, quote, learned in the law, end of quote, with the duty to prosecute and conduct suits in the Supreme Court and get advice and opinion on the law to the president and department heads. More than two centuries later, as the workload continues to increase steadily, most of the 125,000 employees most definitely work full-time or more. Here to accept the award is the Assistant Attorney General for Administration, Lee Loftus. In the number four spot is the Department of State, whose mission is to build and sustain a more democratic, secure, and prosperous world composed of well-governed states that respond to the needs of their people. The State Department has foreign affairs and diplomacy experts all around the globe and the noble task of advancing freedom for the benefit of the American people and the international community. Accepting the award for the Department of State is the Deputy Secretary for Management and Resources, Heather Higginbotham. I'm particularly pleased that she recently got confirmed, and she's going to do wonders there. So welcome, Heather. The intelligence community, at number three this year, is a coalition of 17 agencies and organizations that work together and independently to gather intelligence and disseminate it to those who need it. Generating reliable, accurate intelligence is an active, never-ending process, and the intelligence community is at the forefront of the defense against hostile actions towards our country. This year, the IC is the top-ranked large agency on both work-life balance and pay. I'll have to stop there because the rest of this seems to be written in invisible ink. Here to accept the award is the Principal Deputy Director of National Intelligence, Stephanie O'Sullivan. The next award for the number two spot goes to the Department of Commerce, whose mission is to help make American businesses more innovative here and more competitive abroad. It is comprised of 12 different agencies responsible for everything from weather forecasts to setting weights and measures to patent protection. Fun fact, the longest serving Secretary of Commerce was Herbert Hoover, a mining engineer you might have heard of, who served for almost 7.5 years before being promoted to a higher office. by the American people. Accepting the award is Ellen Herbst, the Chief Financial Officer and Assistant Secretary of Administration. Congratulations. So we're ready to call up the number one best place to work among large agencies. No big surprise here, I think, which also, as I mentioned earlier, happens to be our most improved agency. It's NASA, a hardy perennial in our list of top agencies. Given the huge mass of challenges faced by our government and our workforce, it is extraordinary that NASA was able to escape from this overwhelming gravitational pull and still raise its score, especially considering that the agency faced such incredible challenges to its budget and had to redefine its mission. NASA increased its score by 1.2 points, which in the current climate is almost astronomical. I'm pleased to present the award to NASA's Associate Administrator, Robert Lightfoot. Congratulations. Okay. You've had enough jokes for the day, so I'm done. I'm going to conclude the presentation. I want to thank all of you for coming here this morning, and more importantly, thank all of you for your amazing work on behalf of federal employees and for the American public. Again, I can't resist raising one other issue with you, which is we also produce the Service to America medals, the SAMMEs. I mentioned earlier that the score, probably I think the largest discrepancy with the private sector for employees is a sense that they are actually not recognized for doing good things, the good things that they do. The SAMMEs is a wonderful way of recognizing your employees. We close SAMMEs nominations in January 17th, so get your nomination in now. Really easy to do. Don't worry about whether you think it's the winner or not. Just nominating someone is a great way of showing your respect for what they've done. But please help us find great stories that we can then promote both within government and without. So once more, big thanks to Deloitte for your help with all of this. Thanks to all of you folks, and I hope you have a fabulous holiday and some rest and recharging. Take care.